I just wanted to continue from where we were discussing last week. Last week, we started laying a foundation of what happened to man. What really happened? What did we need salvation for? Why does man even need a salvation? And we laid the groundwork of what happened, the fall of man. And we went further to see that when God, that it was man that ran away and hid himself from God, that God did not really, because God, even after whatever happened, God came, he said that he came out to hang out with them like he usually does. And so when he came, they were hiding, and he asked them, say, where are you? And they say, well, we are hiding because we are naked. He said, who told you you're naked? And I will continue, and we saw them that what God did, that even with when they have given themselves to be controlled by the devil, that God's love for them did not fail. God did not stop loving them. We read that it says even God made something to cover them. And that really, it says now the land is cursed. We also saw that God did not curse the land for man. But it says now, you say, because I told you that when you eat this tree, it's a tree of good and evil. And evil, he said, and we looked at it. It says that when you eat this tree, that day you eat this tree, he said, there's a tree of life and this tree is a tree of death. The day you eat it, death will come into your life. Sin will come in, and when sin comes, it will bring in everything else. So he said, the land now is cursed because you have gone ahead and did what I told you not to do. But doing that, the consequences of doing that is that now that the land is cursed. Praise the Lord. And he says to help them so that they will not remain in a perpetual place of hopelessness. He said he closed the Garden of Eden, and he protected them from continue eating the fruit of life, the tree of life. And we established that tree of life was who? Is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So that's where we were last week. So I just wanted to also continue that, understand that the importance of Bible studies really is that we might be able to know what God has for us, and that also that we will not be deceived. That's important, because the importance of Bible study and coming to church and all of that and hearing the Word of God and wanting to be in the Word of God and be strong in the Word of God is that so that you can know for yourself what God has for you. And because when you're sure of what God has for you and how he has it for you and who you are in him, you will not be deceived either. Praise the Lord. And you'll be able to have faith. You're able to believe. Because, you know, if you're going somewhere, the English people say that knowledge is power. So if you really know that this is the truth, because the Bible says that if you know the truth shall do what? Set you free. But if you don't know it, if you don't know the truth, even when you are in the truth, you'll be easily deceived. So the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we'll start from there today. It says, but sanctify. Okay. Yes. Okay, that's fine. He said, instead, you must worship Christ as what? As the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian move, always be ready to what? To be able to explain it. So there are two things here. So that if you know the Word of God very well, you begin to worship Christ as the Lord of your life. You will know him very well. You'll be worshiping as the Lord of your life. Like we're saying from Sunday too, he'll be your all. You will put your trust in him because you will know exactly what he's saying about you. You will know exactly what he's saying about situations. So he'll be the Lord of your life. And beyond that, you'll also be able to deal with outside world. You deal with the devil. When someone asks you about this hope that you have, you'll be able to be ready to also what? Explain it. So now, if you're ready to explain something, means you have a knowledge of it. So now, if somebody tries to deceive you, they won't be successful to be able to do that. So that's why it's very, very important that we remain in the Word and continue to be in the Word, because the Word that you know yesterday is not going to suffice for today, because the Bible says that the Word of God is living. So daily, you're getting a revelation. There are words that you heard 10 years ago, you even heard 3 days ago, that now if you read it again, it's being taught again. The Holy Spirit drops something in your mind. You see an issue completely differently, because the Word of God is living and continually teaches us. So it becomes important for us to be in it. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about Christ, him being the tree of life. And he's the tree. There's many times that, again, questions have been asked. They say, well, what about the people that were sinning before Jesus came? You know, since that Jesus came to save people, and asked, what are the people that they died. They were not around when Jesus came, or they never heard about the Jesus Christ. So what happens with them? We need to understand that. Let's look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. That Jesus Christ, I want us to now continue to say that Jesus Christ is really the complete tree of life. Complete tree of life. From that point when they were, God stopped man from eating the tree of life and began to make a plan for redemption, that God, man from that time all the way to Christ and after Christ, that Christ was still the answer for them, even though Christ had not come in the flesh then. So he said, for Christ the Messiah also suffered once for sins, that the just for the unjust. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, it says, but when, New King James, it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Of sons. So first thing, there have to be a redemption. So two things that he came to do. That's why we say that Christ is that tree of life. So when he came, the truth is, man, first of all, has been taken captive by the devil. And now he's not in good terms with God. So Jesus Christ coming just only, if he comes and reconciles man to God, it would have been the same thing like God, just allowing him to continue to eat the fruit of life. So that wouldn't have been the answer. So if he had also come and just defeat the devil and left man, man should have still now be by himself and not have access to the tree of life. So two things had to be done. He had to come and defeat devil first, and then after he does that, reconcile him to man, to God. Praise the Lord. So Jesus first defeated Satan and took back the authority that Adam gave up, freeing us from being subjects of the devil. So sin cannot have dominion over us anymore. So what the Bible teaches us, it says it was through sin that death came in, as we were talking about last week. Again, I'm trying to just tie these things together so I could move in. So it was through sin that death came into the world. So now what happens? So if sin cannot dominate you, if sin cannot have dominion over us, if sin cannot have control over us anymore, then everything that sin came in with cannot have control into us anymore. Praise the Lord. So in other words, if the entry to this room is through this door, if you lock this door, nothing can come into this room anymore. Praise the Lord. So sin was the process. Sin was the root. Sin was the way through which the devil came in. Sin was the way through where death came in. Sin was the way through where sickness came in. So all those things, that's what sin was, through where they came in to dominate and begin to take control of man. So now, when God defeated Satan, then what he did was he defeated sin on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. Because it was through sin that death came. So if sin was cut off, if sin was defeated, then everything that came through sin will not be able to come anymore, because the conduit, the power through which they had entrance to man has been what? Has been defeated. So the first thing was the defeat. So Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 14. So we're looking at Jesus is the life. And so first of all, he defeated sin. He defeated sin to be able to set us free from the power of sin, and death. New King James Version 6. So we know that our old sinful selves were what? Were crucified with Christ. Okay. Knowing this, that our what? Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Done away with. First of all, the key thing that had to be done, because death came in through sin. So the body of sin must needed to be taken care of first. If it's not taken care of, nothing can happen. We cannot go forward. So the body of sin needed to be taken care of. Sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be what? Slaves to sin. So that was the first thing, the key thing that Jesus had to do first. Verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from what? From sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall do also what? Live with him. So you see, we are joined with Christ. So the whole thing is that if a man is in Christ Jesus, he becomes a new creation. So what Jesus Christ did, that his crucifixion, when they crucified him in the cross, him died in the cross, and he defeated sin. He defeated sin because, first of all, Jesus Christ resurrected. So sin couldn't hold him down. Praise God. So now if we are joined with him in his dying, now when we also are joined with him in his resurrection. Praise the Lord. So if he's living, so if you are one with something, like now I'm wearing this lavalier, wherever I go, it's with me. So even though it is not part of my body, it's been joined to me now. So everything about me, so if I go into an air-conditioned room, it will begin to feel air-conditioned. If I go into heat, it will begin to feel heat. If I can enter into an airplane, wherever I go to, it does what? It goes with me. So what happened? Because so now when we become joined with Christ, everything that Christ has done, praise the Lord, how he defeated sin, go back to verse 6. Go back to verse 6. It's important that we know this. We need to know that our old man was crucified with him. Now, why do we know that? Because we are joined with him now. So that if we are joined with him, if he was crucified, then the old man was crucified with him. I'm giving an example of that. So my shoe, everything that is with me goes with me. Everything that happens with me happens with this shoe. So if I'm inside a car now, I walk into that car. So the shoe too goes into the car. The shirt goes into the car. Everything goes in with me. He says that the body of sin might be what? It might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves to sin. Okay, continue. Go back to verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. So we also understand that Jesus Christ was crucified, and the third day that he what? He resurrected from the dead. So now, if we died with him, we also believe that his resurrection, since we are in him, that we are also what? Risen with him. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he dies no more, dead no longer has dominion, what? Over him. So if again, I keep giving an example, my finger is part of my body. You know that if I cut off one of your finger, you survive, right? Praise the Lord. So if it's joined back, even though it's just a finger to part of me, it is with me wherever I go. It becomes, it's a, thank you very much. It is with me. So whatever happens, even the watch that I'm wearing now, whatever happens with me, whatever happens, I want you to understand how we are joined with Christ, how us with Christ. So you get to understand that whatever happened with Christ, because you are joined with him, you are exactly everything that you can read about Christ, everything that you can believe that happened with Christ, it has happened with you because you are one with him. Praise the Lord. So knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he dies no more. Dead no longer has dominion, what? Over him. That is why we believe that we are dead, if you die in Christ, that we too will do what? We resurrect with him. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. You see, for the dead that he died to sin once and for all. So now, if sin was the problem, if it was through sin that everything came in, and the death that Christ died, he died for sin for once and for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Because we are joined with him, we too, we what? We died to sin once and what? One and for all. Praise the Lord. So because he died to sin once and for all, and we are joined with him, so we too, we are dead to sin once and for all. And the life we are living now, we live... The life that he lives now to God. So the life now which we are living, we live what? We live to God. So what has happened here now is that, first of all, he had to defeat the power of sin by dying to sin in the flesh, resurrecting, and we with him, and then reconciled to God now, because the life that he's living now, he lives it what? To God. So because we are with him, we died to sin, and we are resurrected with him in that one body, and the life we now live now, we live to God. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. He said, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead. Now, you see what I was saying. Now, he begins to say now, we have talked about Christ. And now, you and I, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But alive to God, what? In Christ. See, that's why, without Christ, there is no relationship with God. Without Christ, there's no dominion over sin. Without Christ, you don't have any power over Satan. Without Christ, you are not out of captivity. So all of this happened in Christ, because it is Christ that did it. And when Christ did it and you became joined to him, now whatever he has done, whatever he is, you become it because you have become one with him. Praise the Lord. So that's why I say, likewise, you also. In verse 11, he said, likewise, you also. He wants you to reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. So now, since it is sin that brings, since it was through sin that death came, since it was through sin that sickness come, now you yourself can also reckon yourself dead to sin and say, now sin has no dominion what over me. So this is the premise to which you see to have faith that through the stripes of Jesus that you were healed. It's on this premise so that you can see sickness and you say, well, sin, you do not really, you're dead in this me because I'm in Christ. So you don't have any power over me. Because you don't have any power over me, everything that you brought with you cannot do what? Can have power over me. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. He said, therefore, do not let sin what? Reign in your mortal body. So now he begins to say, look, remember when we started, we said that one of the key things to study the word of God is so you can know who you are. And you can know the truth, and in that you can become free. He says that, therefore, do not let sin reign over you. He said, now, understand that sin does not have dominion over you anymore. So, in other words, it's like, if you look at like Sudan, now they have the South Sudan, and then they have Sudan. Before then, just about 2 years ago, they had one president, and they were under Sudan. And immediately when they had their independence, they were separated from the Sudan. Now, it would be foolish now for somebody who's if al-Bashir makes a law, if somebody in the southern Sudan country, if he does not know, because he had just been brought out of it, he will begin to obey what al-Bashir is saying. Praise the Lord. So what he's saying here is that he wants you to, therefore, do not let sin reign. What he's telling you is that, reckon now that you are joined with Christ. Reckon that Christ has defeated sin. Reckon that Christ has resurrected and you have risen with him in one body. He said, therefore, sin does not have power over you anymore. So he's telling you that knowing that, do not allow sin to reign. Now, how does sin reign? Sin reigns by everything that sin brought in with is what he reigns with. Praise the Lord. In America, now how a president reigns is that he has his regalia of presidency. He's the commander-in-chief. He can call the army around. That's his reign. His reign is not just calling. If he's just the president, he does not have any power. Nobody will respect him. Your reign is really your power. So what sin reigns in is all those things that he came in with before. So now he's telling you that, therefore, because now sin does not have dominion over, sin does not have power over you, you should not have sin reign over you. So if you see anything that came in through sin, you can stand and say, no, you cannot operate here. Praise the Lord. So now when you see anything that is sin, anything that came to sin, death, anything that sickness, depression, poverty, everything that sin brought in, that because you are in Christ Jesus, if you reckon that, immediately you begin to say that, you stand up, you say, this cannot happen over here. Praise the Lord. And you say, you know, when you say this cannot happen over here, you see, you start taking, like now, if you're confident that we have rented this place for today, if somebody who didn't rent this place walks in now and tries to put his thing down, we'll be bold to tell him that he has to carry that thing out. But if we didn't know that really we rented this place, and we own it, he too can just bring his bag and do what? And start doing something. So the knowledge becomes very important for you to know that sin, because you are in Christ, sin cannot reign. But you have to know that, and when you see everything that is the reigning of sin happening around you, you can step up and say, this cannot happen over here. And you can do that not just by talking, you can do it by action. So if you're doing your business and something is beginning to happen, they say it's falling, that you say, no, a business falling came from sin. Poverty came from sin. Sickness came from sin. You can begin to take actions that are contrary to that. So you won't be docile. You won't just sit back and say, well, this is what's going on now. I just have to accept it. Because you don't know that you're in Christ, other people might accept it. Because sin still reigns in their life. Because whenever we hear sin, we keep thinking that sin is, don't smoke, don't do this. It is part of that. But sin reigning, something reigning is the power, what the thing is reigning with. If someone is reigning, what they are reigning is, what their power is, what comprises their power, that's what their reign is. If somebody is reigning in the place, is his power, what kind of authority is wearing, that's what it means to reign. To reign does not mean people just doing something. It means the regalia of your power, what kind of things you're doing. So because now you know that you are not under that authority, even when sin things begin to happen around you,
If the things that sin uses to reign begins to happen, you can stand up and say, no, this does not apply to me. But if you do not have that knowledge of who you are, if that thing is happening around you, you will accept it with everybody else and say, well, that is the norm. Praise the Lord. So then, so that's why sometimes Christians, you tell them, have faith. They don't understand what they're having faith in. They don't understand what the authority which they're having faith on. So taking certain positions seems strange to them. Because say, for example, now, if that guy understands that they have been separated, they are now in southern Sudan, that guy does not rule over them anymore. And they hear that he has decided that every first male that was born in that place has to be killed. If somebody walks into South Sudan, right, and you are ignorant, he can come to your house and grab one of your male and kill it. Right? But if you have the knowledge that, no, we are not under his reign anymore, immediately come, you will go into action. The first thing you will jump over and say, you can't come into this house. As a matter of fact, you'll be vehement to fight him. You have courage to fight him, no matter how strong he is. And then how you'll be fighting, you start telling him, no, he's not ruling this part anymore. This is who is ruling. Then he will say, oh, okay, you're right. We don't have a reign over this place anymore. So that's how the devil recognizes the Christian. So when he comes to begin to cause havoc in your life, when he comes to begin to try to do what his reign does in your life, when you stand up and challenge it, he himself says, oh yeah, that's correct. I don't do what? I don't reign here anymore. But if you don't understand why, you won't be able to stand to take charge in areas like that. Praise the Lord. So verse 13. And he says, first of all, he says, it is us that will not let sin reign. Praise the Lord. It's not God that will do that. He said, now if you reckon that, he said, you don't let it. So wherever you see his reign, it is you that won't let it. Praise the Lord. And you don't let it because, not because you are so good. That's why we started to look at that it is what Christ has done. Not because of yourself, but it's because you have an authority, you have a delegated authority now to be able to say, no, Christ defeated sin. He defeated you. I am joined in him. You can't reign now because you don't reign on Christ. Praise the Lord. So verse 13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion, what? Over you. For you are not under the law, but you are what? You're under grace. Praise the Lord. I went to a little fast, so now let me come back. Now, you see, if we start after explaining to us what has happened, from verse 12, he began to tell us who you are and what you should do. If you look from verse 12, after verse 11, he says, likewise, you also now reckon. Praise the Lord. See, this foundation is very important. After I finished telling us that Christ has defeated sin, he resurrected, and then now sin cannot dominate, sin cannot have power over him because he died one to sin, and the life that he lives now, he lives for God. He said, likewise, you too, I want you to recognize that you yourself also, you are indeed dead to sin, but alive in God, in Christ. Say, because you are in Christ, same thing that they described earlier about Christ is same thing that has happened to you. He said, you have to reckon that. He said, now, if you reckon that, he said, then you make sure that you don't allow sin to reign. Praise the Lord. So you don't allow it because there's something you know now. You know that he does not have authority over you. You know that he cannot reign where you are. You know that you are dead to him. You know that he does not have any power anymore over you to do anything to you. So now you don't let him reign. So now, whenever you see his reign, you begin to say, no, you cannot reign here. You cannot do this here. You cannot do this here. Because. And he said, also, what you also know now, you don't present yourself to him. Praise the Lord. So it is you that reckon this thing. It is you that deny him to reign. That's what the Bible teaches us. It says that. It says, after you have done all to stand, you do what? You stand. He said, when you are challenged, after you have done, you say, no, this is not the truth. If somebody comes here now and tell you the lie, and you know clearly that there is a lie, you will be vehemently saying, say, no, this is not what happened. Praise the Lord. But if you don't know, there's a way he can convincingly tell you, and over time, you begin to say, maybe what he's telling me is the truth. But if you stand firm, and whenever they ask you, you go back and narrate exactly what happened. And you know, most of the time, how people know if somebody's lying is that when they go back to narrate, their story keeps changing. But if you know the true story of what has happened to you, at every time in anything that sin wants to reign, you go back to the real story. You say that this is what Christ did. This is what Christ did. And I'm in Christ. You don't reign here anymore. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. So now, sin's power is defeated. It's defeated in the sense that Christ defeated it and you're joined in Christ. So now it does not have any hold on you anymore. Praise the Lord. That is why we live by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. That's why we are who we are, because we are trust in Christ. Praise the Lord. So that is where your confidence is. That is where your stance is. That is from where you are able to defeat the wiles and the deceits of the enemy. So now, sin's power is defeated. So you know it is defeated. Praise the Lord. So you know through what has happened. And how it's defeated is that Christ defeated it and you are joined with him. And I know, as I'm saying this, some people say, well, so that, does that mean somebody is doing whatever they want, but because they are joining Christ, sin does not have hold on them? Yes, it does not, but I'll answer that as we go further. We'll see scriptures about that. So sin, what I want you to know now is that sin has been defeated. None of what it brought with it can harm you anymore. Because like I said earlier, if somebody is reigning in a place, they are the one that put out the rules. They wake up this morning, they say, nobody goes to work today. Because they are the one reigning. They got up, they passed a law and says that now everybody is going to, their taxes are going to go up 45% because they are the one reigning. But immediately they are not reigning over you. If they make any rules or if they make any law, it does not apply to you. Praise the Lord. So you can boldly say, I'm not going to do it. And if they come to arrest you, you can say, why are you arresting me? I'm not a member of what? Of your kingdom. So like right now, if my village, if I start driving 65 miles an hour, someone cannot pull me out and say, when we're in New Jersey, if you're driving around schools, do you drive more than 25 miles per hour? You can't take me to, you can't arrest me for that. Because I'm not under New Jersey what? Jurisdiction. So also, we are not under sin's reign. Praise the Lord. So he can't have power over you. He can't come and begin to bring his reign, bring the things that sin brought into the world, and also want you to partake in it. I hope you guys are understanding me. So it's very important that our faith is established on this. So that as you're moving, you also understand that you are joined in Christ and sin does not have dominion, sin does not reign over you. So in every situation, in any condition, you can be able to stand and take your authority. You can be able to stand and boldly. That's why it says that we should come to the throne of grace boldly, that we might be able to obtain mercy. If you think that you're still under the power of sin, if you think you're still under the power of law, you won't be able to come boldly to take anything. Praise the Lord. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 23. And I want you to begin to see the sentence, the way the Bible puts it. First of all, it says, you were what? You were dead. Now it begins to address you in sin, when talking about sin, it begins to address us in the past tense, not in the present. It says you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Remember last week I said that what we need salvation from is not I have lied, I have stolen. What we need salvation from is that we had a nature that was sinful, and that nature came from Adam. Praise the Lord. And it was that nature that made us need salvation. It was that nature that made us, we cannot yield to God anymore. So it says, your sinful nature was not yet cut off. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave what? All our sins. He says, when you became alive, is when God forgave you and made you alive with Christ. Verse 14. He did what? He canceled the record of the charges against us, and took it away by what? Nailing it to the cross. So when Christ was there up on the cross, he said they were nailing Christ, but that because now you're joined with him, he said that nailing that was happening on the cross for Christ, it was you too that was being nailed and taken away, your sins being taken away on that cross. As Christ was sitting on the cross, Christ was on the cross, being nailed on the cross, he took away all our sins. And because now we are joined with him, because he took away all that sins. Now that you're one with him and joined with him, your sins are also what? Taken away because of what happened on the cross. Verse 15. In this way, he did what? He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. So he had to disarm the spiritual rulers, because the spiritual rulers and authorities, what they had over you was sin. How they could reign was sin. So he had to disarm them. He had to overpower them. He had to defeat them. So that when he defeats them, he, Christ, is free. Now anyone that is joined with him becomes free with him. Praise the Lord. He said he did what? He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Verse 16. So then do what? Don't let anyone condemn you for what you what? You eat or what you drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. Verse 17. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet what? To come. And Christ himself is what? Is that reality. He says that all that law that was given to Moses, he said, like, listen now. He says, let that not be your way of life. Let that not be through where you get life anymore. He said, where you get life. He said, those were shadows. Those were things that were done for you to, through it to get life, but it was a shadow. That the real way for you to get life, the real way for you to be free from the power and the reign for sin was still coming. Praise the Lord. And he said, no, go back to 17. He said, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is what? Is that reality. Christ is the fulfillment. Those things were shadows. Those things were things that you were supposed to be using to be, it was a band-aid for sin not to reign over you. Those things were a band-aid for sin not to reign. The reality is Christ. Because Christ was not a band-aid. What he came, it was not just a law. He defeated it. That's what he was showing it. He came on the cross. He first, he defeated sin. It was not just do this, don't do that. He went and defeated them. And when he defeated them, he said he made a public show of them. He said principalities and powers. He defeated on the cross and made a public show of them. Now verse 18. He said, don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels. Don't let anyone deceive you and tell you that it's not about Christ. It's about pious self-denials and this and that. That's what brings you to God. That's what causes sin to not reign over you. He said, don't be deceived by that. He said, that's not what does it. By pious self-denial or the worship of angels or saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful mind have made them what? Proud. Continue. Go back to 18. Does anyone have any question there? You see, it's very important. These foundations are very important. Why it's very important is that if you don't truly understand that it is Christ that gives you everything in God and how he gives it to you and completely build your faith in it, every other thing, when we started, we say we should know how to answer when they ask us about this what? This hope. You see, it's not only people that ask you this hope. Situations in life are asking you. Your thoughts are also asking you. Your imaginations are also asking you. If you don't have an answer, the worst one is not when people are asking. The worst one is if your own thoughts and imaginations are asking you those questions and you can't answer them. So he says, don't let anyone includes you and your own thoughts. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have visions, or don't let anyone come up or human beings and say, well, this is how it should be done. I saw an angel. I had a revelation on an angel. It is not Christ. This is how, if you do this, then you will get life. He said, don't be fooled by that. He said, the only way the life is, the reality is Jesus Christ. And if you have put your trust in it and you are joined in him, he has defeated principalities and powers. He has made public show of them. Sin cannot reign over. He said, it's only in Christ. He's the person that does it. He's the person that did it. And if you are in him and him alone, then you can be able to have confidence. He said, anything else, he said, don't put your confidence in this. Verse 19. He said, and they are not connected to Christ. He said, when these people come, they tell you all these things. Different stories, if you do it this way, if you somersault this way, if you pray seven times, if you pray facing this way, if you do this, then sin will not dominate. Then, remember, sin domination, again, I say, sin domination is not only that somebody keeps lying and cannot stop. How so? I keep saying this. I want you to understand sin and the reign of sin. The reign of sin very much is that the Bible teaches us from sin that we say that through sin that death entered the world. Now, if we said that something is dead, it means that there's nothing lively about it. It means that there's, if you think about some things that are dead, if you think about sorrow is dead.
If you think about oppression, if you think about poverty, if you think about sickness, if you think about everything that steals your joy, it is death. Because it is not life. Because it is not joy. Anything that is not joy, it is death. He says that those things came in through sin. That's, and when those things are manifesting themselves, that is sin reigning. Praise the Lord. Because sin is not of God. So the reign of sin is not only that somebody is doing this. The reign of sin is that everything that sin, when sin enters, sin brought into the world. Wherever those things are manifesting, where those things are taking place, what is happening there is that sin is reigning. So understand sin in that way so that you might know that it does not reign in your life. So whenever you see anything like that, you must be able to stand vehemently because of Christ to be able to reject it and deny it and continually walk contrary to it, not giving into it. Praise the Lord. Verse 20. It says, you have died with Christ and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of what? Of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as what? 21. Don't handle. Don't taste. Don't touch. Don't do this. Don't wear this. Don't say this. Why is your understanding of Christ that? Why is your understanding of Christianity that instead? Verse 22. It says, such rules are what? They are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. See, all those things, all those kind of laws, he said, they are mere human teachings that deteriorate in the use. They don't have any power to change anyone. They don't have any power to set anybody free. They don't have any power to stop sin from it. They don't have any power to challenge sin and its reign. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. These rules may seem wise because they require what? Strong devotion, pie of self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide what? No help in conquering the person's evil desires. He said, immediately you're not trusting in Christ. Immediately you're not depending on the love of God. Immediately you're not depending on what Christ has already done for you, that you're free. He said, immediately you go to begin to do, to take it out of Christ, to take it out of that sin has been defeated and cannot reign over you, and begin to now try to defeat it yourself. He said, what happened is that it looks great. It seems wise because they require strong devotion. It will look like you're doing something. He said, they're pious. It looks because you do self-denial and severe bodily discipline. He said, but they provide no help. Because they can't help you, because Jesus has already helped you by conquering sin on the cross. He defeated them, made a public show of them. So whenever they see him and faith in him in your life, they can't operate. You have the power of Christ in you to be able to fight back. But if you leave that faith, if you leave Christ and you go to begin to do all of this, he said, continue conquering because there's no power. Praise the Lord. So because Jesus is in the heart of a person through faith, evil and power cannot reside there too. Look at the book I'll show you. Look at the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. When Christ begins to reside in you by faith, when you begin to believe that the body of sin has been crucified, so in you too sin has been crucified, that it has no power over you, because Christ crucified on the cross, took authority over powers, principalities, and you are joined with him now, the same way that he has resurrected, the same way that he is free, the same way he is reigning, that you too, you are reigning. He said, as you begin to have faith in that truth, because you are in Christ, even if anything tries to take a hold on you, it can't stay, because whenever it's trying to come and it sees that power that defeated it, it can't stay. Look at an example. 24, he said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking what? Rest. And finding none, he says what? I will return to my house from which I came. Verse 25. And when he comes, he finds it what? Swept and put what? In order. Verse 26. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. He says, look, he said, what happens is that when he comes and there is no faith, when there's nothing in the heart, when that spirit comes and see that in that heart it is clean, there's nothing that has more power more than it.
He said, what he does is that he's go prepares himself to come and stay there still. But when he comes by faith and sees that Jesus Christ is in that heart, and he knows that he made a public show of him, and he knows that he defeated him on the cross, he knows that the heart is occupied. Praise the Lord. And he's not occupied by men's thinking. He's not occupied by piousness. He's not occupied by self-deprivation. He's not occupied by all those things. But he knows that those things don't have any power to kick him out. Because you have to understand that until Jesus Christ came, see, the Bible says that from Adam, that sin was reigning. And we had people that have been trying and being good, and even God came and gave them the law, said, go and keep it. They were trying very hard to keep it, but it was still reigning. Until Christ came and defeated it. So it's only faith in Christ that any power, when it comes, you see that Christ that defeated him is sitting there, has occupied that place, then there's no place for him. Then with that authority, you can begin to speak. So when same way, when we approach God in Christ, we also have the confidence to receive what we're asking for. Because remember in that last week, we said that the tree of life was Jesus Christ, and then God stopped men from coming to it so they don't continue to eat it and live forever. But now, because Christ, the tree of life, has come and died, and now brought man back to God and said, no, they're okay now, and reconciled man to God. Now, man can come to God freely through Jesus Christ. So the dying of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of it has fulfilled the two major problems that stopped man from dealing with God. First, man was under captive. He defeated captivity and freed man. He defeated sin and freed man. Now man has freedom from sin reign. Now man in the authority of Christ can challenge sin reign. Now sin cannot have dominion over him. Now sin and his reign and the things that he does, if he comes, you can rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And he will know, because he says that he defeated him and made a public show of him. That is your authority. So you're able to stand there as a Christian that is in Christ. So when you see this thing, when you're speaking, it's not just shouting. It's not just a let us pray seven times of prayers. When you're praying it, there's a confidence and a know and a truth in your mind. So sometimes you see certain things, you say, no, these things you can't be here. And you're so confident. Let me tell you, so you train dogs. And one thing I've learned about dogs, if a dog is acting, I say, sit down. Sit down. He can ignore you. If you can, sit down. He sits down. Now, what gives you authority to speak to him or to that object that way is that you know that you have authority over it. Praise the Lord. If there's any doubt in your mind that you have authority over it, you can keep speaking and speaking, and the thing itself knows, because your language, your forcefulness will be evident that you're not sure if you should be able to tell him to do that. Praise the Lord. So Christians now, when we are not sure of these things, it causes us to be able to see sin reign and be doubting. Sometimes we say, maybe that's the will of God. Why we say maybe it's the will of God? Because we are afraid and we are not sure. Maybe we begin to look at ourselves. We say, well, it's because I am like this. It's because I did this. Sometimes some people will come now. He says, don't listen to people that are all puffed up. They can come and say, well, I went to the mountain. And after I saw that it's because your father did this. It's because your mother did this. He said, all those things are just complete garbage. So now all of a sudden, you don't have Christ in your mind anymore. Those things begin to take place in your mind. And you don't have authority anymore. Praise the Lord. And you have no authority. So now we can also, in Christ, come bold in the presence of God. Because now we also understand that he says that now we live with him in God. So since we are with him and he lives in God, then we too live in God. Praise the Lord. That's our boldness. So then now we can come in the presence of God without an accusation. If they ask us, say, well, Christ is here, I live in him. So if he's here, because he says that we are seated with Christ above powers, principalities, and powers. He said we are seated with Christ. So now in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, we begin to see that. Now that's how Christ achieved this other part, that now completely we can now have authority over sin, we can have authority over the devil, and also now we can have access completely to God. Now, verse 20, for therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be what? Will be justified in his sight. He said, no, by the deeds of the law. That's what I'm saying. You see, with God, first of all, we show that by human deeds, first of all, that you cannot reign over sin. I established that the first time. Now, I also established that by human power, that you cannot be justified by God's side either. So he said, for by the law is the knowledge of what? See, he said, the only thing the law does is that it makes you to know, that it gives you knowledge of sin. It doesn't give you knowledge of life. Praise the Lord. If I tell you now that if I tell my son now that if he push this chair down, that I'm going to flog him 3 times, all I've given him knowledge of punishment. Praise the Lord. I didn't give it. It's not life. It's not that he become joy. It's not that this happens. All I tell him that if this thing comes down, it is bad, I'm going to flog you. Verse 21. So, but now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is what? Is revealed. Being witnessed by the law itself and what? And the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. You see, everything keeps saying in. Everything keeps saying in. Faith in Christ Jesus. To all and all who what? Who believe. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have what? Sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. Last week, we were sharing what the problem was. Because sometimes, you see some people, they say, well, but my own, you know, I was not such a bad girl. I was not such a bad boy. You know, all my life, I've tried to do right things. No, no, no. The issue is that before you were born, you were already in. So because you have tried to be nice, does not reconcile you to God, does not give you power to reign over sin. It's only in Christ Jesus. He said, because everybody has sinned and they are short of God's glory. God's standard has been broken already. So you can't come and say, I've been trying, I'm all right. No, you have to cling to the cross. You have to cling to Jesus Christ. All your authority, all your confidence has to do because you are in Him. You see, when you begin to know these foundations and begin to operate it, you have confidence for challenges. You have confidence for even issues in your life. There are sin issues that you have been dealing with. You have now issues to be able to stand. Because you see, as we begin to go, is that when God does that, His grace was also available that if you fail, that there's room for you to be able what? To be able to continue. Verse 24. Being justified what? Freely. It's being revived and being justified what? Freely by his grace through the redemption. That is what? In Christ Jesus. So I want us to, this line I took us through to complete this thing before I go to begin to show the power of grace and to show that the Christian lives by grace. What I just want to introduce is here where grace came. He said, now we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So it's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus that justifies you. It's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus that gives you authority over sin. Sin reign. Remember where he says that sin cannot reign, and he didn't say sins cannot reign. I remember last week we showed you how sin entered the world, and as sin entered the world, death came with sin. Praise the Lord. And Christ has come, and we showed how he defeated sin in his body, dying on the cross, and that in him now we can reign with him because he is reigning. We can reign with him. And I gave many examples showing that. I'm just saying that we can reign because, as a matter of fact, if do you know that I read that in olden days that if a king drinks with any cup, that particular cup becomes royalty or kingly cup. No, not anybody can touch that cup anymore. But it's just a regular cup. But just because now the king is holding it, that thing too becomes royal. Royalty. Praise the Lord. So just because we are in Christ, and if you begin to understand things like this, it costs you to really humble yourself. It makes you somebody that becomes very grateful to God, and it makes you somebody who really wants to walk with God and listen to God. Because you begin to see what He has done for you, what you couldn't do, what we couldn't achieve by ourselves in any form, He did that. So being justified freely, now we can enjoy God's grace. I have about 10 minutes. Before I can, do you have any questions? And I just wanted to introduce the grace of God. And where I was going all the way to come to grace is I wanted us to see, again, to review to us sin problem, which we have done, and to see how Christ is the life, and that only being the life wouldn't have solved the problem, because now we were under control and under captivity by Satan, by evil. So he had to come first of all, free us from evil. And after he freed us from evil, he has to reconcile us to God. Praise the Lord. So he freed us first from evil by the dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and us in him
one with him now, we reign with him. And then now he reconciled us to God through faith in him. He says that by the work of the law, no man can be justified. But through faith in him, you are now accepted to what? To God. So now the two problems that held man has been solved. So we are free now to be able to go to God. We are free to be able to resist the devil, and he cannot have power over us because of authority. And all of this we have received freely. So we did not receive it because somehow we showed up to church here. We received it because we believed that that work that was done, that it was true, and that God's word is the truth, and in him and in him lies completely our freedom. We believe that when we believe that freely by his grace, and his grace means something that we did not merit, not by anything we did, he brought Christ, he did all this strategy, he protected us. He protected humankind all through this time while he was working out his plan. So and then freely, he also did this redemption that anyone that is in Christ will be able to enjoy this. So everything that God does for us, if he can do this, everything that he does for us is not by force. It's not because we prayed all night. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with praying. He says that we should pray. But understand then, so when you come, the presence of God, when your confidence now won't be what you're doing. Because immediately shifts from this to what you're doing, you fall to that trap. So you have to understand that everything that we receive from God, we received it because of his mercy. Because first of all, when we're not reconciled, when we're dead in sin, it was by his mercy and his grace that he came and brought us out. Praise the Lord. It was his mercy and his grace that he came and brought us. So now that we are out, everything that he gives us is by his grace and his mercy. So we approach God trusting God of his grace that is in Christ Jesus Christ. We approach God trusting him of his mercy. And it's so clear because the Bible says that he does not change. Because God does not change, if he has done one thing through mercy, and how he does things through grace and mercy, every other thing he does is through what? His grace and his mercy. Because he says that I do not change. So he says that his mercies, they live there forever. They are new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22-23. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. He says, the Lord's mercies, his grace that causes us to not be consumed. He said, his mercies, they never cease. So if he saved you from sin, if he reconciled you to himself through Christ's death, just by grace, just by his mercy, not anything you do. And his mercies are new every morning, they never cease. Everything else he will do with you, you can come trusting that God is merciful, and he will also do it. You see, why that is so important, that you remove the relationship of you and God from you to God. Why it's important that way is because God is the same. You see, human beings, no matter, you can come now and say, I've decided, I'm never going to do this anymore. I'm telling you, I don't know what situation you find yourself and that you have decided changes. So because of the inconsistency of man, it's better that in that's your relationship with him, that it depends on him. If it depends on him, then you're saved because he's constant. He's consistent. Praise the Lord. And he wants it to depend on him. That's why he shows us all these things. That's why he did all these things for us. Because he wants it to depend on him. So Psalm 86 verse 15. He says, but you, O Lord, you are a God full of what? Full of compassion and mercy. Slow to angry, to get angry, and filled with unfailing love and what? And faithfulness. So now, you want to begin to know God this way. Praise the Lord. Because if while you were yet a sinner, while you were yet dead in sin, through Adam we have become slave to sin, that he will come as a human being to defeat sin for us
and then reconcile us back to himself so that we can begin to enjoy again just by his mercy, not because we started doing anything special, not that we went back to get it back. He decided it, he did it for our own enjoyment. But then the mercy of God becomes very important, and that's consistent with him. He says he's a God of compassion and mercy, that he's slow to get angry and he's filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. So a God that has love, a God that is love, a God that is faithful. Any relationship you have with anybody, if you can ever find anybody who is unfailing with his love and his faithfulness, you are secured. That is why it's important now that we depend on God's grace. Because God's description, God's character is that he's unfailing in love and he's unfailing in being faithful. So that God is always faithful. So when somebody says something is unfailing, it means that that thing never fails. If he says to you, I'm going to be faithful. If he says to you that I will help you. Doesn't matter if all hell is falling down. He will do what? He will help you. That's how you begin to build faith. You don't just build faith in a vacuum. You don't build faith if you don't know that this is really God's character. You don't be faith if you don't know that this is how he brought you out, even where you are, to be able to talk to him. Because you know that God, it says that God is so holy that he cannot behold iniquity. So that we talk to God is not us. It is Christ. It's through Christ. So if he can make a way like that for you, for me, then you begin to understand how unfailing his love is. Then you begin to understand the kind of God you're dealing with. Then you can begin to establish a relationship with him on that kind of foundation. And you know if somebody who's unfailing in love, you know that if you wrong them and you come and tell them that you're sorry, because they're unfailing in love, they'll forgive you. Praise the Lord. Because they're unfailing in love, because they are faithful, if they tell you this is what I will do, they will do it. So no matter if it rains or if it storms, as long as they've told you, look, I will do it. If you know that person that way. So no matter what you're going through, if you know that he said, I will do it, you will stand with him. And somebody asks you, why don't you? You see, that's why Job's wife came to him when he was sick and said, why don't you just curse God and die? He says, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, I know that my Redeemer, what? That he lives. I know that he's faithful. He's unfailing. He said, I know that. So we know that because of his grace and what he has done. So it becomes very critical in our lives that we'll be people that receive his grace. I'd like to stop there today and we'll continue as I open up for some questions. But now you see why it's important. Now I say there will be people that receive it. And I'll begin to show us that we have to receive it. Because all these things I've talked about, all these things that Jesus has done, all these things that God has done through him, all this rain that you can rain, if you don't receive it, if you don't believe it, if you don't agree with it, it won't work. So if somebody who was sitting in Southern Sudan has not agreed that they have gotten their own independence, he'll be sitting in his village if that man puts law and do everything, he'll be doing it. Because he has refused to agree that you are free. You are free from this man's craft. You are free. They can't do anything for you. You won't. So it becomes very important that anything that God has given, that the most important thing is to receive it and to learn how to receive it. Because if it is unfailing in love and faithfulness, then it means that he always gives. Somebody who does not fail in love means that no matter what, he gives you. So now the problem now will become if he is not failing and he always gives and we don't have it and we don't know what to do, it's because we have not learned how to do what? How to receive it from. So our next Sunday school class, we want to start looking at how do we receive the things that God has done. Because when we receive it, our faith continues to build. You see, when I tell you that I have given you this shoe and you receive it, your confidence in me will be grown. But if you never receive it, your confidence won't grow. It won't grow. And faith is really just, he says we should grow in faith, which means that faith grows. Which means that, first of all, to come to Jesus Christ is faith. We first believe that there is a Christ and that he died for us and that when we come to him, he brings us to God. But it shouldn't end over there. It shouldn't end there. The faith has to do what? Continue to grow through our knowledge of him. Continue to grow in receiving things. Continue to grow in receiving things. Continue to grow in receiving things. And as we do that, our faith will get stronger and stronger in him and will continue to reign in this world. Because it says that anyone that has received the gift of grace and of righteousness, that person begins to reign here on life.
And we'll look at that in the book of Romans. Then our reign will become, we'll begin to reign. Confident, we will see things where people are coming and saying, it is over. People are buckling. When we come there, we stand. And why we stand is because we know what God has spoken. We stand because he's unfailing in love. We stand because he's faithful. We stand because sin cannot reign. And that thing that's happening is sin wanting to reign. I will say, no, it cannot reign. And when we are doing that, it's not about, it's not because of us. We are not looking at ourselves to deny sin reign. We are looking that we are in Christ. And because sin has been defeated, he cannot reign. So when you're praying about it, you're praying with confidence, saying, you cannot reign. And you don't sit down. So when you don't sit down, you begin to act as if he's not reigning. Praise the Lord. You begin to act as if he's not reigning. So I had a problem on my side today. All of a sudden, one of the houses that we're supposed to close on Sunday, on the 15th, one of the pipes in the house was last night. No, it's empty. So the whole house is completely flooded. Completely flooded. So by this morning, other people were calling. They said, the people that live, the other owners that bought from us that live closer, they'll be calling. They start calling. They said, people rush over. There's water pouring all out of this house. So when we came there, the whole place was flooded. And this house is closing on the 15th. I laughed. Because I know sin will not reign, immediately I begin to call my workers and everybody. They are showing up. And I say, we are fixing this house. They say, are you going to call insurance? I say, I'm not calling, but we are fixing this house. We are finishing it. They are closing on the 15th. I could sit back. I could just get overwhelmed. But that's sin wanting to reign. He wants to steal my money. He wants to steal my joy. That's why faith has action. So this morning I began to call everybody. Why I was called, I didn't even give a minute to feel sorrow. To first say, let me go home and first just think about this and be depressed for 2 days. No. Immediately I came there. So I said, sin, you cannot reign here. You cannot bring your power to be over here. I began to call them right away. If you see the what happened over there, you think that I won't prepare for teaching today. You think I'll just go and lie down and say, oh my God, I'm talking about a lot of money. But by the time next week finish, if you come in there, you will not know that something like that happened. Because I know that my Redeemer liveth, because I know that I reign over him, and that he cannot steal from me. I've become confident. I don't begin to look, why did this happen? Is it because which is not? No, I don't care why it happened. What I know is what's going to happen. I know the house is going to close. Praise the Lord. So that's how we become people of faith. That's how we walk in the newness of life. Because we know that we reign. So whenever we see that thing, we know what's doing it. And we know he cannot do it. And we'll tell him, say, you can operate over here. And he'll pay for it. And I finish, I was laughing. And I said, this nonsense. I said, not only will we finish this place, they close this place. I said, you pay for this. So that becomes the truth. And the foundation of the Christian. It is Christ. You are in Christ. Christ has defeated sin. Sin cannot rule over you anymore. Anything that has to do with sin, powers, principalities, authorities, whatever they call them, they can't reign over you anymore because Christ defeated them and you are in him. And you have access to God. So if you are weary, you can go freely and tell him, look, Lord, this is it. And you know that he's there because in Christ he says that you can come. He will say that now you are in him, seated with him in the right hand of God. So these are the truths that you know, that we know, and we are confident. So when people ask us, like we started reading in the beginning of the book of Peter, he says, go back to that place, and I'll end with that. First Peter 3:15. I say, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of what? Of your life. Instead. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. If any situation asks you, explain it. If sin wants to run, explain it. Say, no, you can't reign. This is why you cannot reign. And so instead, what will happen? You'll be worshiping Christ as your Lord all the time. Because it is in him that all of this happened. So nothing will be able to separate you from him anymore. Nothing will be able to take you away from him. He said, neither life, neither dead, neither anything now will be able to do what? To separate us from the love of God. Nothing will be able to separate that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, nothing. When he says nothing, it means what? It means what not. Praise the Lord. Are there any questions from what we have just shared? Any questions or contribution, whatever you have any questions about this? Something you don't fully understand about it that you say, but if it's like this, why this? I can answer that. If there's none, I want us to continue, as we said earlier, to worship Christ as Lord in our life. Worship Him as Lord in your life. Look at the things He has done for you. Worship Him. Worship Him. And if anything asks a question, answer Him with Christ. Answer. If sin asks a question, answer. If thoughts ask a question, answer them. If situation asks a question, answer them. Answer them. Answer them boldly and continually, having the Lord of it. Let your joy be in the Lord. He said, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Be your strength. So even if now, so that's why even if we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we don't fear any evil, because we know Christ is with us, because we are in Him. Because we are in Him. And we know that His love is unfailing. We know that His faithfulness is unfailing. So we stake our trust in it no matter what is going on, because we know these truths and we can answer it. So that's why this is very important, that we hold it. And that's why if you go back, if you have to study this back and when they start putting out tapes, you take this, you listen to it again, and you establish yourself in this truth. Because it says that when people establish, when we establish them in this truth, we'll be like that house that is built on a rock. You say rain, when it comes and beat, because rain do come. Storm do come to beat. But when they are beating and it is on this rock, and that thing that's beating it, you know that it can do nothing. You can dare the thing based on this truth. You can pray based on this truth. You can stand on this truth. So you won't be standing that somebody saw something. Somebody went to some mountain, saw something. You base it on the truth of what Christ has done for you. And that does not change. And whenever you look at it, it is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Let us pray.